Praise the Lord. That's Paula on the guitar. Her and her husband and family moved down here a few years ago for them to go to Raymond. And she used to be one of the guitarists up there with Jim Stafford and Branson, if some of you ever know where. She can play the guitar. Way to go, guys. You know, I want to talk to you tonight about something. It's called, I'm just going to call it, getting through tough times, tough situations successfully. Now, of course, I know, now I have, but I know none of you have never faced tough situations that you got to work your way through, you know. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Huh? Anybody here ever been in a tough situation? Well, we got half of this crowd that's been in a tough situation. For the rest of you, it's no fun. Turn to Luke. I'm going to read when Jesus was being tempted, but Luke 4, I'm going to read the New King James. I'll wait till everybody finds it either in your Bible or on your device. You know, we got the Bible. I mean, I got it here, but I got it here, and I got it on the iPad. I got it on the computer at the desk. All right. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing afterwards, and when it ended he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds of the word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get to behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, It is been said, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportunity time. Now Jesus here was doing exactly what God had asked him to do. He had come to the earth, and here he is. He had been at the River Jordan. The Holy Spirit descended upon him, and now he goes into temptation. Now I want everybody to understand something here. This is where theologically people get messed up. He lived for the 33 or 33 and a half, whichever chronological person you want to go with, as a human being just like us, the Son of Man. Okay? He didn't. And it said in Acts 10:38, Peter said, "How God anointed Jesus and has the Holy Ghost." If he was operating as the Son of God, then God wouldn't have needed to anoint him. See, God anoints us. All right. And that's where, and now he lived and ministered as a person, a human Son of Man. He died as the Son of God. He switched roles there. And a lot of people don't understand that. But when you understand that, and you can begin to understand some things. Now, see, the reason the devil said that he could give him this authority, because it had been given unto him, because the man that God created, he messed up in the Garden of Eden, and he sold out, and the devil become the god of this world. And you read that, Paul says that over in his writings. He didn't become a god, he become the god of this world. He's in charge. down here right now. That's why that we have to use our authority in the name of Jesus to overcome some things. That's why there is, you see, there. Let me say this while I'm at it, and then I'll go on, because there is the curse of the law, but there's also the curse of the fall. Hello, when man fell. That curse can't be broken until Jesus returns to this earth. Now, the other curses we have authority over to break those. How many understand what I'm talking about? Okay. Now, here Jesus is. He has gone into the wilderness. He's on a 40-day fast. And now the devil starts to bring pressure on him. You know, it's very interesting how after some great spiritual experience that the enemy will come to you. Anybody ever had that happen to him? Yeah. See, he just had that experience at the River Jordan. And now, you know, it's always seems like that the enemy comes trying to push you out of the will of God right after you've had some experience with God, trying to steal, comes to try, you've heard the word and you're excited about it. Now the devil comes in, trying to steal the word from you. He's always accusing you of something. Now, how did Jesus, operating as a man, a human being, get through these tough situations, these temptations? And I think we can get three keys from this. One is Jesus kept telling him what the Word of God said. He kept speaking the Word. Notice he kept saying, "It is written." Hello? See, you got to maintain your proper attitude with the Word of God. Number one, before you can start saying it is written, you got to believe that the Word of God is the true Word of God and that it has the power to do something. You know, how many of you realize that some of you in your position, you have power in your word because of your position of authority that you're in. Now, as the president of Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Rhema Bible Training Colleges Worldwide, I have the authority, my word. I can speak it, and it's law. It has to be done. How many understand what I'm saying? Anybody understand what I'm saying to you? How many of you hold a position of authority in a company or your own company, and you understand what you say carries weight, carries authority? It carries power. Well, the same thing with the Word of God. This is God speaking, and it carries power. Hello? You know, now Jesus spoke the word that probably was in his heart. Why did I say that? Because he grew up as a Jewish boy. Every Jewish boy studied the Pentateuch. That is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and probably also the Psalms and the Proverbs, because the Psalms was Israel's prayer book and song book. Now we read those Psalms, but many of those Psalms they did to music. And you can see that many people have put some of the Psalms to music. Now, you know, if the Word of God is just words on a page to you, they will never do you any good. They have got to get down into your heart. Now, I'm not talking about this physical pump, this muscle that pumps blood through. I'm talking about the real man, the man on the inside. That's what the word is talking about when it says heart. It's talking about the man on the inside, okay? Now, you know, it has to, how do you get it there? By spending time putting it there. And then when you need it to deal with tough situation, it's there. How many of you know the multiplication table? How did you get it there? Day after day, going over and over and over and over it again and again until it became such a part of you that if I holler 7 times 7, 49. How many of you had to think about that? It just automatically, how many of you just, the minute you heard it, it automatically popped into your mind. Why? Because you spent so much time with it. You know, it's really interesting to watch Paula play and watch some of these guys that play these guitars around here. You know, they just up there and they're just playing, their fingers is going everywhere. And you sit there for a minute, how in the world? They have studied it so much until they know what chord is what note is what, and they automatically, their fingers go to the strings, and when they strum them, it has a pretty sound. I go up there and I strum a guitar, it would sound like junk because I don't know nothing about it. Come on now. You see, how many things in our life that we do them without even thinking about them because we have done it so much and put it into us that you can do it without even thinking about it. You don't even have to think. It's just, that's the way the Word of God has got to be in your heart. When you get the Word of God down in there, it don't matter what happens, what comes your way, devil slaps you up beside the head with something, the Word of God is the first thing out of your mouth. You know, you can tell when a person has been studying the Word and has the Word in them, when they hit a bad spot, when they hit a tough situation, when they hit something that throws them for a loop, so to speak, instead, out of their mouth comes the Word, or out of their mouth, oh my God, what are we going to do? Oh, what are we going to do? Come on now, don't look at me like I fell out of a tree. You know, hey, that's the truth. Tough situation comes along financially. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, my goodness. Oh, or out of your mouth, my God supplies all of my needs. You know, I can't go under for going over. Hello. Now, you see, you have to maintain the proper priorities. The proper priorities. You see, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. That's the priority. Make sure that God is number one in your life. See, as you worship God, it helps you to stay focused on the important things and helps you to maintain the correct priorities. You see, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. But some people, it's not a priority to come to church. Now, for a lot of us older ones here, more mature, not old, we just more mature. It wasn't a matter of whether we were going to church or not. It's about what time we're going to leave. How many of you can raise your hand with that situation? Yeah, it wasn't a matter. If it was church time, we're going to church. Yeah, but Mama, I need to do this. I don't care. You're going to church. Yeah, but I got homework. Well, you should have got it when you got home from school. You're going to church. When we get home, you'll stay up and get it to then. Yeah, but then I'll be tired in the morning. He said, that's your problem. Anybody ever been there besides me? What'd somebody say?
Oh, she did her homework.
That she probably did. You know, you have to have the proper priorities if you're going to get yourself through a tough situation. And your priorities are that you work the basics. Anybody that is successful in anything, they stay hooked to the basics. No matter what it is. There are basics in everything. There's basics in music. There's basics in... There's basics that you, if you're going to be a minister, there's certain basic things that you have to stick with. I never will forget Dr. Fred Williamson. He stood in front of that class, the homiletics class, and he said, boys, because we didn't have any girls in that class. He said, let me tell you a little secret right now. He said, I don't care how good an outline you can make. I don't care how good a manuscript sermon you can write. I don't care how good of an orator you are. If you don't connect with the people that are sitting in the pew, you might as well sit down and shut up. The basic thing is you've got to connect. There are basics in everything. The one basic thing here to be successful, to get yourself through tough situations, is to make sure that your relationship with God is always intact. Amen. Always intact. You know, you can be related to somebody and not have a relationship with them. You know, the way Jesus got through this tough situation is he had spent time as a youngster laying the proper foundation from the Word of God. If you'll go back and study Jewish history, in fact, I think it's still there today. They are basic things that every one of them learned. If you go to some religion, there is classes that you go to that deal with the basics. You know, that's what we don't, in the charismatic era, we don't have them very much, but that's what Sunday school did. Sunday school dealt with these basics that I'm talking about and got them into your life. That's where I learned, somebody said, well, man, those stories, David and Goliath and Daniel in the lion's den and the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, oh, they're glory stories. Yeah, they are, but there's a basic underlying principle there is if you learn how to trust God, he'll bring you out. You know, we associate pastor down in, I was with my father-in-law and Craig, he was two, I think, and he come out of the Sunday school class and he had this boat that he had colored, you know, it was just all over, you know, and a man standing on it. And I said, what is that? He said, Jesus, that's Jesus. Said the water was bad and he made it good. Well, that's what he, as a two-year-old, that's what he got out of that. But you see, though, how many of you went through some of those basic things and they're still with you today from Sunday school or catechism or whatever? They're those basic principles. It's the basics there. You see, now I want you to notice, and I got just a few minutes. So the last thing is in dealing with the devil and in dealing with any tough situation, you got to use your authority. We've talked about it before, but you got to use that authority. He said, away with you, Satan. Then the devil left him. The devil left him as soon as he used his authority. You see, we have been instructed to use the name of Jesus. Now, they didn't know what I was going to preach tonight, but we sang songs about Jesus. There's authority in the name of Jesus. That is, we have been left. Actually, we could say it this way. We have been given the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. And it says everything has to bow to the name of Jesus. It says that at the name of Jesus, and you know, if you go to Mark 16, and these signs shall accompany those who believe in my name. Hello? In my name. Jesus is talking. In my name. And he tells you what all you can do. Using the name of Jesus is how you operate in your authority. Now, there's other things that we can talk about, but the name of Jesus, it's important that you understand the use of the name of Jesus. Now, if you've ever traveled overseas, you understand how important it is that in certain situations, you identify yourself as a U.S. citizen. When I was in the Army, I was in a special, I did specials in Army Security Agency. I had a different colored passport. That different colored passport said something to the immigration officials. It said that I was traveling under the diplomatic immunity of the U.S., and that's, if you don't understand what I'm saying, forget it, because you don't know about it anyway. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. But you see, the name, you see, I had a clearance that if I needed to know it, I could know it, no matter what it was. That's the highest authority you can get, the highest clearance of authority that you can get. If I had a need to know it, I knew it. I could know it. I tell you what, when you get in some of those places, there's some of that stuff you wish you didn't know. I had the pleasure of being courier the Secretary of State when he came over to visit over there. And, you know, those are, I got a deal around my wrist and I'm carrying a briefcase with stuff in it. I got a .45 strapped right here, shell in the chamber. Safety is off. I got orders right here in red letters in this pocket. It says, shoot first, ask questions later. Because I had, in that briefcase, I had some of the top secret. I was back in 1963, so it's all probably declassified by now, but it doesn't matter. I'm not even going to tell. But I had important information there that didn't need to get out anywhere else. We have important information that we are supposed to get out. Now, there were certain times that we had information that we were supposed to talk about and get it out on purpose. Hello. The name of Jesus greater is the greatest authority you can get a hold of. The name of Jesus is the greatest force that can come against anything. He made it through these tough situations because he spoke the word. He knew what his priorities were, and he used his authority. Those three things, if you will work on those three things, there is not a tough situation, there is not a, that you can't get through successfully. Amen. You can overcome. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you can overcome. Speak the word. Maintain your priorities. Use your authority. Some of you say, well, I'm going through a tough time right now. Then do what I've just told you to do. The best way to get through a tough time is to speak the word. But you can't speak the word if you don't know the word. And if you don't know the word, you can't maintain the right priorities. And if you don't know the word, you don't know anything about your authority. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Everybody stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. We just tried to talk to these people for a few minutes, stir up their pure minds and their hearts, get them to realize that it doesn't matter what comes their way. They can make it through any situation, every situation that comes their way, no matter what it is. And I thank you tonight that that will come to pass in their lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight, I want you to find him before you leave here. If you need to rededicate your life, if you need to pray with somebody to know whether you may go to church, you may not know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not. The prayer team is coming down. There'll be the ladies over here and the men over here. You come to the front, they'll pray with you. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, you need the Holy Spirit, you need to pray with you about a job, you need any reason you need prayer, come to the front, they'll pray with you, and you'll agree with you that whatever it is will be done in your life. Hey, connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them to the connection area where they can get that very special gift that's been put together for them. We are so glad you're come to be with us. Like they said a while ago, if you're looking for a church home, what do we say? Welcome home. If you're just visiting from out of town, then make this your home away from home every time you're in our area. Don't forget all the announcements. Don't forget Friday night is graduation for Rhema Bible Training College. Invite everybody to come and enjoy that special time. Enjoy our special guest, Brother Keith Moore. He is a Rhema grad. He worked here at the ministry for many years. And it'll be good. Hey, don't forget all the other church announcements. Sunday morning right here at 10 o'clock. Turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to get through any tough situation that comes my way. God bless. See you.